$350,000. Were there expenses that were outside budget? Well, recall last year with the board guideline that each station would have 1 month produced at the end of the fiscal.
You mean a 1 month surplus?
1 month surplus, not 1 month reserve, but 1 month surplus.
Right.
In fact, most stations did not have the 1 month. And what that means is that, as I've said for many times, that you're going to end up dipping into your reserves if you have them, or dipping into your savings. And that dipping, unless the follow-on year makes it up, continues on.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, if we spent a bunch of our reserves, then you authorize the spending of these reserves. Is that right, Tony?
Do I authorize the spending of the reserves?
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, you realize that money was going out that we didn't have, and then you covered it.
Yeah. For example, if you look at the FY08 budget, we have budgeted $1.2 million. That's a decent budget for FY08. The problem is we're barely 2 months in the FY08, and that budget is out of date and has to be updated with these new expenses expenses that have question marks around them, like legal. So we started out with a pretty good budget if you look at FY08.
Can I say one more thing? I got some clarity.
No, don't interrupt him. Go ahead. Finish, Lonnie.
Yeah, we started out with a good budget. We worked hard to have a budget that was going to get us back sort of on track. But we, as our general counsel has told us, we'll have extra legal expenses. And what is that number going to be, $100,000, $200,000? I mentioned the election costs. I mentioned the CPB monies. And there are others I can mention, too. Well, that number, if you combine last year's outcomes with this year's outcomes given these new issues, puts us in a window of vulnerability for $800,000 or so. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to do anything about it. It just means that right now, that's where we stand. And we are going back to the stations, and we are saying to them, this has to be fixed, and you have to look at it. And as I opened up, I said, it will mean, probably, layoffs at some stations, reduce expenses at other stations, and we're looking at revenue projections at others. So that's where we stand now.
Okay, we're at time for this item. It's been 30 minutes.
I'm moving time for 20 minutes.
We have an order of the day that will terminate this meeting in an hour and 10 minutes.
Everybody knows that.
Is there a second to the motion to extend time 20 minutes?
Yes.
Is there any objection?
I object, but I won't take time to vote.
Please call the roll, Mary, on the motion to extend time at time, so we're not going to debate it.
Mary Berg says no. Evelyn Bethune? Okay. Lydia Brazon?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Margaret.
Welcome back to... Oh, Margaret, can you tell me what time you came?
Just now.
I just flew in from...
Okay, just now. Thank you. I just didn't
Hi, Margaret.
Know you were here. Okay. Did you want to extend time 20 minutes, or do you want to pass?
Let me explain, Margaret. We have an order of the day that we're going to adjourn to executive session in 1 hour and 10 minutes. We spent half an hour on the Finance Committee report. There's been a motion to extend time. The Finance Committee, we've just been in discussion with the CFO.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm not going to participate in this vote because I'm just getting on.
Sure. Okay. I can come back to you if you like it. Otherwise, that's fine. Star?
Yes.
Sandra Rawline?
I vote no to...
No. I heard you say no. Okay. Berthold Reimers? Rob Robinson?
No.
Rip Robbins?
No.
Thomas Ruffin?
Yes.
Oh, you are here. Can you tell me what time did you come, please?
What difference does it make?
Well,
Mary, just call the roll, please.
I don't know. I just
it doesn't
I
matter.
Just
on
order.
Call the
Excuse
roll.
Me, the member is
Ooh,
out of
come
order.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Excuse me. The member is out of order. The secretary has the right to try and determine when members arrived for the purposes of the minutes. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you. I just want to know because I marked him absent. Can you please tell me?
9:32 Eastern time, Mary.
9:30. Thank you. Okay, and you voted yes. Thank you very much. Okay, Wendy Schrell?
No.
Lori Tagum, are you here? Don White?
No.
LaVarne Williams? LaVarne Pound 1. Okay. Michael Woodson?
This is LaVarne?
Yes.
No.
Okay, Michael Woodson.
Yes.
Okay. Asa Berta, you wanted me to come back to you.
Mary, can you hear me? This is Evelyn. You couldn't hear me previously.
No, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Are you voting?
Yes, and I'm voting no.
You're voting no. Thank you. Okay.
And this is Lydia. I didn't hear my name again.
I didn't vote either.
And I didn't vote.
I thought you said no.
Okay, Lydia's votes no.
Yeah, but Lisa, I didn't get a response from...
No, you didn't, because I didn't hear you call me, but
okay.
The answer is no.
Okay.
No.
I didn't get to you. Sorry, I noticed that I should have done that and hadn't finished yet. Chandra?
No.
Ray LaForest?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. And that's the only...
Bob Lederer.
Yeah?
I vote no.
Okay, is there anybody else who wants to vote and has not yet given their vote?
Okay, the motion to extend time fails. So
yes,
we're moving to the next item.
Yes.
The next item is the digital distribution report. Rob, go ahead.
Okay,
I'm having a problem with my phone. This is Evelyn. If I drop off, I'm going to come right back on, but the call keeps dropping. Okay,
I just need
to let you guys know that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you very much. Thank you again. I'd like to apologize. Since my last report, I've had a health problem. I had an infection that affected my eyesight, and I've had a delay in completing the report. I can complete the final report by next Friday, but I'd like to assure the PNB that my health problem will not result in any additional costs in completing the project. I would simply like to go over some of the key developments that have occurred recently in terms of the PodSafe music library that we're trying to develop a framework for. The legal counsel has approved the agreement documents that we drafted, and I attached a copy of those in the report to all of you. Additionally, the legal counsel has approved the producer agreements changes that we received from our FCC counsel. However, I would just like to point out that the PNB will have to approve that document before it's used in getting permission from producers to have their work redistributed. Third point I'd like to make deals with the Internet Archive or archive.org. I worked with the Pacifica Radio Archives staff, with Addie Gibbons in particular, and we developed a scope of work for the Internet Archive to give us an estimate on what it would cost them to digitize the Pacifica Radio Archives. They came back to us with a per-tape cost, which is very, very, very competitive with other estimates that we've had. This does not mean that we're ready to go forward, but what it does mean is that the people from the Pacifica Radio Archives and the Internet Archive are prepared to sit down and discuss if, whether, and how the Internet Archive might be able to complete the digitization process. So while this doesn't mean that problem is solved by any means, I think that's a large step forward. In terms of
Rob,
yes, sir.
Is there anybody on the board who does not understand what Rob just said in terms of who the Internet Archive is and what's being proposed? Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Some fundraising points. I've completed a grant proposal that would fund the hardware and software to develop a basic infrastructure for us for digital distribution. That is being reviewed. I believe Lonnie will finish review on that soon, and we can drop that proposal with a local foundation that we've targeted. In addition to that, there are two other small foundations that I've identified, and what I'm discussing with Lonnie doing is going to one of those foundations and requesting funding for the software development that we'll need for our digital infrastructure, and going to the other and requesting support for the IT work that we're going to need to carry forward, you know, assembling a basic infrastructure for Pacifica. I would like to say that throughout this process, Lonnie has helped me a great deal in terms of making recommendations on how to research grantors and what to talk with about them, and that's I'm sure his expertise is going to serve the foundation well in the long run in that area. I also have given Lonnie an extensive list of the grantors where we've either made initial approaches or where folks like Creative Commons have opened doors for us. And I really do believe that there is a great deal of potential for Pacifica to get money from grantors and foundations in this area. But I'll mention that a little bit later. There's one item relative to digital distribution that I would like to raise with the PNB, you know, in an executive session, but that doesn't bear touching on at this point. The last thing I'd like to do is simply mention preview for you some of the recommendations that you're going to be getting in the final report so that you can begin thinking about some of the policies around digital distribution that the PNB should consider adopting as soon as possible. The first thing is that you know, I seriously believe that the thing in the future that will be determining whether a station or a network can command audience is not simply their program content, but whether or not they have a distribution capacity to distribute that programming. And as we've learned recently, one of the things that we've learned that really fundraising for an institution it is largely a non-commercial radio network like ours is largely a function of the audience that you're able to create. So distribution, just as much, and in some cases more than program content, is going to affect whether or not we can increase the audience that we have. The second thing I'd like to point out is that by the end of next year, something like 90% or more of our listening audience will be able to listen to Pacifica programming on digital platforms, whether it has to do with a computer, an MP3 player, or satellite radio. The third point is I really believe that creating a digital infrastructure is something that the PNB should commit to building now, ASAP. A related point is that I believe this is the time for Pacifica to begin webcasting streams comprised of local station programming. That's the first step in providing listeners with a wider variety of program content that's available on Pacifica stations. The fifth point that I would like to make goes back to the discussion of grantors and fundraising, and that's that we can find a number of grantors that will provide us with money within the context of grants to fund the development of our infrastructure, including personal services. However, whenever we go out to them, those grants are going to relate to our ability to develop programming that we air either at our local stations in toto or at least on an internet stream nationwide. Or it's going to have to be programming that involves the use of our archival materials, or it's going to have to do with something that deals with how our development is going to bring the internet, media, and democracy together. So the point of that recommendation is that in order for us to get money from other people to build the infrastructure, we're going to have to develop proposals that deal with programming and the archival materials that we have now that we're willing to air on Pacifica. If our stations won't air programs, we can't get proposals granted to develop them. The sixth point is that in order to promote the digital distribution platforms that we're talking about, the foundation is going to have access to its local station airwaves on a regular basis. That's just critical. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude my remarks. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. I have two questions.
Thomas?
First question is, what's the estimate for copying that music into that, into a digital format when you said that some company had a proposed price for digitizing programs? What was that proposed price?
It's a per tape price, archives program.
What was the proposed price for that?
It's a per tape price, and that deals with with the procurement issue that I don't want to discuss in public session.
Okay, and the second thing is, it was my understanding that the digital distribution project with the Creative Commons element has already been inaugurated by the National Board. This is fully initiated. What are you talking about? Pacifica needs to undertake it. It seems like that's what your charge is, and also it seems like that's what the organization's charge is.
My charge is to prepare a plan, but Pacifica is still going to have to enact a policy about what they want to build and how they want to build it, what they're up to. My job is in large part to provide the PNB and the executive with a plan for digital distribution. The board will then once again have to decide if they're going to implement it and how.
I thought we decided that we would and that you were supposed to be the person putting together the plan on how we would do that.
I am putting together the plan.
Yeah, I'll answer that. No, the whole point was that in order to actually adopt a policy, somebody had to do a great deal of work both within the organization and outside to get us a strategic plan, essentially, and that's what he's doing. But before it's implemented, we then have to approve it.
Megan, I missed that.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Rob, you concluded. I lost part of this sentence. I'm going to ask if you could just repeat it again and then expound on it a little bit more. You said something about access on a regular basis. I thought you meant like the foundation or something, or the national office, whatever, having access to the airwaves on a regular basis. Could you just repeat that sentence and then just expound
yes,
on
yes, it? Yes, yes. I think that in order for digital platforms to succeed, Pacifica is going to have regular access to local station airwaves, at the very least to promote different programming that's available throughout the network.
Can I clarify, Rob? One of the points Rob was making, Lisa,
might not
is that
blunt.
Basically funders won't fund us to develop any of this if we can't demonstrate that we can use our transmitters to generate an audience. And so if you've got a system wherein, until and unless we come to an agreement where we can be specific with a grantor of how all our activities are going to reach audience, you can't get a grant. So his point is that we're going to need to deal with that, and right now our existing programming policy doesn't deal with that question explicitly. We have processes for how things get done, but we don't have the ability to sort of say, yes, this is going to happen. Is that correct, Rob?
In part. The first part of it, Lisa, is that we can get lots of money to develop programming, but if it's programming that the local stations won't air for whatever reasons, the likelihood is that, you know, we're not going to be able to get those grants. The second thing is, even as we develop digital platforms, in other words, once we put together a National Pacifica web stream that comprises programming, let's say commentary program from all different stations, if we can't go to our local stations and promote that, it's not going to be as successful as it should. And currently, We have a problem with being able to use local station airwaves to promote things that support the best interests of the foundation if they happen to exist in some other station. So we're going to have to come to grips with those shortcomings in our current policies.
I have a question. Michael?
Yes. A lot of fine work, and all of this needs to be done, and as you know, I support it. But it seems to me that there may be time to start passing it off to people who will get paid to do this. I'm wondering, Rob, if we've somehow found a way into the structure of Pacifica and the paid staff to make this happen, and with given the I think we can call it a crisis and not be hyperbolic, the crisis of financing, where are we going with this? Are we just a working board, partially paid, coming up with ideas that are going to, you know, just fall through? And I really want this to work. You know that.
Right. I'm sure there's a question there. I guess my response would be, Michael, that I believe, for example, in the instance of the archives, I believe that we will be able to work with the archives. There was a little bit of concern at first that what we were doing was taking the initiative away from them. I think that that's been overcome. Addie Gevins is the person that I've worked with, and she spent a lot of time. So part of the problem is getting people from different parts of the network to agree to work together. You know, that's really, that takes a lot of effort at this point, because everybody is very much resistant to moving outside of their immediate sphere of influence. But yes, I think that there are people all over the network. You know, one of the people that's been endlessly helpful to me is Lonnie Hicks, in areas, you know, where he really doesn't have to, but he takes the time. Another person that's been, you know, tremendously helpful has been John Elmella, and Nathan Moore has also been extremely helpful. So I think that there are people within the network that will help us make this successful, but there's lots of other people that we have yet to draw into the process. But it's going to be dependent upon our ability to use those collaborative resources, and that's a little bit like the issue of collaborating on programming. One of the problems that we've got right now with the special work that we do is that it won't get aired on except on a few stations. So collaboration is going to depend upon us being willing to operate as a network rather than as a collection of competing entities, which we really are not.
Rob, could you expand a little on what you talked about the digitization of the Pacifica Radio Archives content and the implications of that?
In terms of the initial, the stumbling block is the estimates that we've heard of in the past were involved millions and millions of dollars to get this done. The Internet Archive is currently digitizing literature, still photography, audio tape, videotape. They're doing lots of work. So they have, one of the largest archival, digital archival projects in the world going on right now. And what they're basically doing is taking a look at what, the state of our archives right now and talking about how they can do it based on the technology that they use. Do you want me to talk a little bit about what the concerns are at the archives end of this, or am I off on the wrong?
I guess we talked today and you made a point.
We've got 49,000 tapes.
Wait. You made a point today that basically they understand that we would want that to be a Pacifica. It would be clear that it's a Pacifica interface, and that they're
I forgot to say that you know they've agreed to partner with us. So what they've told us is they'll host content for us. So in addition to doing the digital work, they'll be happy to host the content with no claim on what we're doing, and they'll make sure that the way it's hosted is fairly transparent, so that it's
what
clear.
Excuse me. What do you mean by host the content?
They'll be able to use their bandwidth to take the content and put it on the Internet in such a way that it's clear that it's the Pacifica Radio Archive, that it's not something that's separate that's been lodged at the Internet Archive.
So basically we would not have to pay the server costs or the bandwidth costs to host it, but we would be able to host it in such a way that it's clear that it's our content.
In other words, you go to the PRA to search the archives, Thomas, and you click on something at the PRA, it doesn't refer you over to the Internet Archive. But equally importantly is in hosting that, they'll work with it in making it, you know, in making it very, very searchable. And the, one of the things that the man who developed the Internet Archive is known for is developing excellent search engines. So that's another opportunity for us in working with this partner.
Can you talk a little bit about the publicity side of it?
I think that, for example, in terms of the archives project, I think that there's a great deal that's very exciting that we have in our archives. So when you marry some of the work that we have, for example, from the civil rights movement, the American Indian movement, and you talk about pairing that to a cutting-edge technology archive, I think it makes that type of joint project something that we can publicize, and in making that, in publicizing that, I think that's going to open the doors from additional funders. For example, there's one foundation on the West Coast that we've been associated with in the past that I've been writing to about the digital distribution project, and they finally wrote back to me a week or two ago and said, well, yes, we're actually very interested and we're very appreciative of the work that exists in the Pacifica Radio Archives. You know, give us a proposal at the beginning of 2008 and we'll see what we can do. So I think that the combination of Pacifica Radio Archives and the Internet Archive has got a nice combination of important history and cutting-edge technology, which makes for good public relations. Any other?
All right. Well, if there's nothing further, then I guess we can thank you for the wonderful report and the possibilities that you've been able to develop, and we can move the agenda. The next thing on the agenda is the affiliate director election process timeline. I just want to report on that. I think we need to take the. I wrote to the Affiliates Alliance and asked them about the number of candidates that would be putting they'd be putting forward in the timeline. They said that it looks like they're going to put forward two candidates. If they do so, that gives us a great deal of flexibility on the timeline because we could pass a special rule of order that the national board would elect them at that meeting, and fly them out. And I think the coordinating committee can deal with this question. I had originally thought we would have information from them by now, but since we don't, we can do that at our December teleconference, which, by the way, we have to set a date for before the end of this call. I neglected to put that in the agenda. But there shouldn't be anything else that we need to do on this right now. So if there's no objection, we can just move the agenda.
Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Hang on. I got Sarv and then Rep. Go ahead, Sarv.
Affiliate Alliance is not the only organization that can put forward the candidate. Right?
That's true. I believe that's true.
Any affiliate candidate could put their name in the hopper there and send it to the
I believe that's the case.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll deal with that on the coordinating committee call. Yes, Rick.
Okay, well, I wanted to have a deadline for the applications so that, and especially with regard to what Sarv just brought up, that we need to have a public deadline because the Alliance will have their nominations in, but we need to have a deadline that I can announce on the general list to all affiliates so that they would know in case there is an outlying independent candidate who's going to be nominated.
Well, so the Affiliate Alliance agreed that they would have it to us, I believe, by December 15th. Do you want to move that would be the deadline?
Yes, I move that December 15th be the deadline for nominations for the affiliate director seat on the board.
Is there a second to that? There's a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any debate?
The motion, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
The motion is that we set and announce a deadline for December 15th for nominations to the affiliate director seats.
Thank you.
This is Ray. I have a question.
Go ahead, Ray.
We feel that sending it up for the 15 will leave any possible candidate and dependent candidate enough time to be final about information and move accordingly if they're interested.
Well, this process has been open for some time, and the affiliate, certainly it's gone out to the affiliates, but I don't know whether, Rip, what has been the state of publicity about this for this year's election?
It seems like it was about 2 months ago that the notice first went out that it was time to start thinking about nominations. That just went to the affiliate list, so it may only have reached station managers. But,
when you say the affiliate list, do you mean all of Pacifica affiliates or just the members of the Affiliated Alliance?
All the affiliates who are registered affiliates with Pacifica. So there'd be 100 and probably it was about 120 or so at that point.
So that was two months ago, you say?
Right. And then also notice went out on the GRC list, which reaches other community stations that are not affiliated with Pacifica. Not that that would help, but the word would get out that. And so somehow word would filter back to affiliate stations. And so we want to put another notice out, and I'd like to put a notice out with a deadline to try to urge any action if anyone's considering action.
Fun information.
Great. Yes, sir.
Rip.
Wendy.
Would you then, just as soon as we come up with a deadline for the affiliate rep nomination deadline, would you send that to all the affiliates again in Hilling?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, that's my intention for this motion.
Thank you.
Wendy?
Really quick, it's just that we can't keep extending deadlines for everything, and so it's a good idea to do this. December 15th is just a couple of weeks before January, and January is when the PMB members are seated, so it's a good idea.
Well, that's a question mark.
Okay, if there's no further debate, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to move to amend to make it December 22nd, and I can motivate it.
Is there a second to the motion? Okay, go ahead. Motivate away.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that there was a general notice about 2 months ago, but I think general notices that don't have deadlines, often people kind of file it away in the back of their brain and forget about it. It's just a normal human impulse, and so I think for those who might be seriously considering it, if they just find out tomorrow that they have 2 weeks, if they need to go through some internal process at their station or with their board or whatever they need to do, that may be cutting it a little close. And I don't think that the 22nd is too late for our process. So I think it would be better to err on the side of more time so that we encourage more people to be involved in the process.
I would like to suggest that we table this until we set the date of our next teleconference, because actually we would need to take action on a special rule of order at our next teleconference. And I think that knowing how many candidates we have is crucial to that. Would there be any objection to tabling this so we can set our December teleconference right now and then take it up once we've done that?
I object. I think this is a different issue, and I don't think we should postpone it. I think that Rip made a very an excellent. Oh, I'm sorry.
I will withdraw, and we'll just. What I'd like to do is go straight to. Is there a need for debate, or can we go to a vote on the two options, the 15th and the 22nd? Okay, hearing no need for further debate, is there any objection to Bob's substitute of the 22nd?
Yes.
Okay, there is. Will you call the roll, please, on the substitute amendment, the substitute motion, or the amendment? Mary? So this vote yes if you want the deadline to be the 22nd instead of the 15th.
Can I just state my objection?
I asked if there was any debate. People said no. I want to go to a vote. Go ahead.
Okay. So,
not a strong objection.
Okay. I'm going ahead with the vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Michael Woodson? Welcome back.
Yes. 22nd's fine. Good reason.
Are you vote? I'm sorry. Did you vote yes or you what?
I said yes. 22nd is fine.
Okay, yes for the 22nd. Is that correct? Okay. LaVarne Williams?
Oh, I passed.
Okay, passed. Don White? Don, it's pound pound mute. Pound pound one. You don't even mute.
That's pretty what
okay.
You
do. That was
okay,
awesome.
I'll come back to him. Wendy Schrell?
I have to say no because I objected.
Okay. Lori Tagua, are you by any chance on the call? Thomas Ruffin?
Yes.
Excuse me. Rip Robbins?
No.
Rob Robinson?
No.
Berthold Reimers, are you here? Sandra Rawline?
I vote no.
Okay, thank you. Sarv Randhawa? Sarv. Margaret Prescott? Margaret? Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Ray LaForest?
Pass.
You're passing? Okay, thank you. Chandra Halpern? Chandra? Downtown one? Lisa Davis?
Oh, yes.
A.C. Bird? Lydia Brazan?
Pass.
Pass. Okay. Evelyn Bethune? Evelyn Bethune? Downtown one? Okay. Several people. I left the back. Several people. I didn't hear from anyone. LaVarne Williams.
No.
Thank you. Let's see. Don White. Don White. Sarv Randhawa.
Yes.
Okay. Margaret Prescott. Margaret Prescott. Ray LaForest, you passed.
Upstairs.
Mary, this is Chandra. Can you hear me?
No, I hadn't. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. I vote no.
Okay, you vote no. Thank you. And Ray abstain, correct? Okay. Lydia Brazan.
Abstain.
Thank you. Evelyn Bethune. Evelyn Bethune. Mary Berg, I'm going to abstain. I actually haven't really, I'm not sure what I can do. All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to vote whose name I did not call or who has not voted? This is the date for having the meeting on 12/22.
No. Wait, is that what we're voting on?
The deadline. The deadline on the 22nd.
Yeah.
That's when no one will be there for a meeting.
The member's out of order. The next time the member's out of order, I'm going to ask for disciplinary action.
Did you want to? What are you saying, Wendy? You voted no. Okay, I would like to change my vote to yes. I realize that I meant to do that. Okay. Anyone else that has not voted? Okay. One, two. Three, four, five. I have six yes, and there are one, two, three, four, five, six no, and one abstain.
Therefore, it fails. Okay, now we have the motion to make the deadline the 15th. Is there any objection?
Wait a minute. Motion passes, right?
No, it did not achieve a majority.
6-5.
She said 6-6.
No.
Yeah. One.
No. 5.
Mary Kane, their vote is yes.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6 is yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is no.
5.
It fails. Okay. We're now, is there any objection to adopting the 15th?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing no objection, that's adopted. The next item on the agenda is the KPFA EBSO recognition issue. And I'm going to ask, actually, who can patch in one of the participants? Does the board want to hear from Lem Lem and Anthony or not?
No, we heard them.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Aren't we? We have scheduled to end this at 11 o'clock, correct?
We have 32 more minutes, correct?
Okay, because I just saw this is 45 minutes and we're at 10:30. So this.
You're right. This, correct. I apologize. We have 32 minutes remaining. So does the board feel prepared to act without having to bring those the manager and the representative of UPSO on the call at this point? Both of them have submitted statements in writing at my request earlier today. Or earlier this week and today. Okay, well, what I'll do is then we're going to have the motion put before us as we're processing the motion. If anybody would like them, we can bring them on the call. We will be voted. We will start the voting at 10 minutes before the hour because of the inevitable delays in that process.
Point of order?
Yes, Wendy.
I actually had an amendment that was on the floor that was saying that it added that we move the re-recognition, provided that UPSO begin the process to bring their bios into compliance with the rest of Pacifica, and I am going to be voting against my own motion if people don't want to let me withdraw it.
I believe, based on a statement from Bob and my review of the bylaws, that I ruled that amendment out of order. Is that not correct?
Why was that?
That's correct.
Yeah, it had to do with the description in the bylaws of effectively the independence of that organization, of those organizations, and the way they organize themselves, and that we didn't have the power, if I recall the rationale, to impose a structure. Is that right,
okay,
Bob?
Well, that was a wrong ruling, but I'm still going to withdraw it.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's see. The motion before us is, who's going to read that motion, or who's going to put it back before us?
Mr. Chair, a point of information.
Yes.
You're saying that you're going to have people on the... We have now 29 minutes left to do anything.
Yeah, and falling.
And you're just talking about hearing from people that we've already heard from people, but hearing again from the people, is that? And then
We're beyond that. I did not hear anybody ask that they be present. We agreed that in the event that we need to want a question answered, we'll go there. But I'm trying to get us into the motion now.
Okay.
I have a point.
Bob, would you go ahead? What's your point of information, sir?
There's just a question here. If we have an organization within Pacifica that we give them total independence, we don't have any control over, what if in their own bylaws they have some section that's exactly opposite to that of Pacifica?
Okay, I'm not going to recognize that now because we can't deal with hypotheticals. I want to go to the motion. Bob, will you present the motion?
Yes. Resolve that the Pacifica National Board directs the Executive Director to instruct the KPFA Interim General Manager to reinstate management recognition of the unpaid staff organization as the designated representative of the KPFA unpaid staff.
Okay. It's open for debate. And actually, Sarv, will you take over chairing for just a moment? I have to step off the call.
All right. Sure.
Thank you. Oh, actually, wait. They was asked that members not a KPFA. Just go ahead and manage the debate. I'll be back in 3 minutes. Okay.
No problem. Thank Rest you. Assured, I'll be not partisan. Don't worry.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Go ahead. Is there any second to it? The motion was seconded, Bob.
Oh, well.
Yes, it was seconded when I introduced it two meetings ago.
Oh, okay. Any debate on this?
Yes, sir, I would like to debate it.
Okay. Go ahead, Thomas.
One thing that I find very troubling about this whole affair is something that I said when Lim Lim and a few of the representatives of UPSO were on the phone with us a few months ago. I find everybody's conduct to be irresponsible. When we met in Berkeley, we talked to both sides. And after the meeting in Berkeley, everybody took out of what was said what they wanted to hear. That's Pacific all day long. Unfortunately, the way our board dealt with it, that is, we talked loosely in the middle of our meeting, but we didn't investigate it. We didn't talk to people directly. We didn't find out, for those of us who are not at Berkeley, exactly what's happening. Instead, we just broke down on partisan lines and according to the friendships that we had. We're, in essence, urging ourselves to vote in an ineffective way and in a fashion that I don't think is going to resolve this. That's what I don't like about Bob's motion. I think it's direct. I certainly think it's direct, but I don't think it's well-reasoned in that it's designed to resolve the problem. I think it's just basically designed to protect UPSO. I think Lim Lim raised valid concerns, but I think her bias, whatever it is, I think it's inexcusable, and I think UPSO's reluctance to overcome its own bias is inexcusable. In effect, what I see is this. My guess from being in D.C. and from being a member of WPFW and of this board is that this is a fight about how many of the unpaid staff would participate in this current election and who those people would be. I might be wrong, but since we didn't go into it in depth as a board, I don't know. That's why I think Bob's motion is ill-advised. But with that all said, we've got to make a vote. And so what I wanted to say in my argument is, here we are again as a Pacifica board and there in the management and with the staff at KPFA, we're determined to come to a resolution that we like, not a resolution that's effective. So I might well vote for the motion. And I want to really get this clear that for those who are supporting the motion, please, if I vote for it, and for those who are against it, if I vote against it, please don't think that I'm being won over to one side. I'm terribly disappointed with how badly we deal with problems. We're only partisan. We're only favoring sides and friends, and we're not dealing with a resolution of troubling issues. That's what I wanted to say.
Anyone else?
Yes, this is Chandra.
Mary Bird.
Go ahead, Chandra.
Okay. I just want to address what I think may be one of Thomas's concerns, and that's in response to what he said and maybe something that Sarv raised earlier. One of the points that was raised by the UPSO organization is that they're going to deal with the issue of voting rights and who's eligible, and they plan on doing that after the new year. So they're going to consider revisions to the bylaws, and this issue will be addressed. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that.
Thank you. Mary?
I'm not muting. I understood that we did have the motion by Wendy. Don't we have to deal with that? Or what are we having with that? I'm a little...
Well, the chair said...
That was what was held over from the previous meeting.
The chair said that motion was ruled out of order.
That motion came to us from before the last time, whether that was part of what was postponed to this meeting.
The chair said that Wendy's motion was ruled out of order at the last meeting, and everybody heard that at this meeting when the chair stated that.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, I guess I can't now talk. I have to go back and talk.
You can address this motion.
Okay, yeah. Can I do that, or do I have to? Okay.
Sure, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
Well, I hope that people have read what the UPSO has put out, and that was sent by one of the people, Anthony Fest. It was called Short Statement. And in that, it said that, and according to our UPSO bylaws, that we are going to be making amendments in January. That's what happened all the time. But I would hope we just go ahead and the only issue is whether we can have a statement that we already have had all this time. And why should there not be, if there are things that need to be doing, of course, that lots of things will be done, and we will be looking at the UPSO bylaws. As I said, we do this every year in the first part of the year. I would just hope that we would go ahead and rather than have not that try to make another, just reinvent the whole wheel, start the whole thing. Don't, if people don't agree with certain things, then I think we can address those issues. But I certainly, that's, I'm hoping that we go for it.
Stop, this is Ray.
Okay, go ahead, Ray.
Thank you. I appreciate the spirit in which Thomas spoke. I realize that these are complex issues, but they're difficult to find solution. I disagree in two ways, though. That first, that there's the assumption that people discussing this have not looked into it. Maybe we have not done it as a body, but these are all issues within Pacifica. And the other one, and I guess I'll address the point that Sav himself was making earlier, that about a position of a union being against the mission. I think if we found ourselves in that position, I think that the board would have power to act. But I don't think that's the reality now. There, this is difficult. These are rules designed to protect workers and give them autonomy. And as Chandra said, if there's a change in the bylaws, I would seek to modify the way this is done. Maybe we will look at that, but at this point, I think it's quite appropriate.
Anyone else?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
I agree with Thomas. And it's the same thing. I want to have the same disclaimer. I'm not 100% on either one of these sides. I will be voting. I have decided I'm going to vote. And I will be supporting it, but with significant reservations. And I think if UPSOs in Pacifica are going to survive and be held up to the standard and the deserved dignity of being organized labor within Pacifica, then they really need to get their act together. And I would hope that all of the UPSOs can get together and have more uniformity, and be committed to having something more substantive so that this sort of thing doesn't occur. I'm not laying blame on either side. I agree with Thomas. It's both sides. And so it'll be support, but very qualified support.
We're going on an executive session.
Is this Bob?
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes. Okay, well... Could you please ask someone to mute their phone?
Just hold on. Chandra, would you please mute your phone?
I'm sorry.
Would you mute your phone?
Sorry.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, first of all, I just want to dispose of one issue that was raised earlier. This vote tonight has nothing to do with the current LSB election, because although the interim general manager's decision to derecognize the union, which happened about 2 weeks before the close date for qualifying to vote, removed the voting rights of a fair number of people who are members of UPSO, the National Election Supervisor decided that it was really too late a change in policy to be fair to people who had in good faith qualified under the rules that were in force at the time. So he ruled that whoever UPSO designates as their members, as I understood the ruling, would be granted voting rights. So that's not on the table at this point. But it certainly, what is on the table is the whether this board is going to accept the right of management to arbitrarily decide that when a union or a workers' organization that has been recognized by management in the past and has, in this case, I mean, we're talking 17 years, and has committed no misconduct of the fundamental rules of the institution, that management has the right to just unilaterally determine that because of some problems that they claim exist, and in the absence of, you know, of any petition by a majority of the workers saying we no longer want this institution to represent us, and we demand that they be de-recognized, none of which even remotely close to that ever happened, that it is really unacceptable and it should not be allowed by this board that management can simply destroy the legitimate role of a worker representative organization that it has recognized up till that point. So to me, it's a fundamental principle. Whatever problems may have existed in the organization is really secondary to this vote. And in any case, I think we've gotten some pretty detailed reports from UPSO that the people who have been elected to their council are actually dealing in a very forthright way with the problems. But whatever those problems may or may not have been, they would never have justified the kind of drastic action taken, without any consultation or any dialogue with UPSO itself. And so I think we have to take a very strong stand on principle about this.
I'm back now, so sorry, do I take over again?
Go ahead.
Can I get on the staff?
Okay, that was a statement in favor of the motion. Would you like to speak opposed?
I would.
Go ahead, Tar.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's all well to say that UPSO is a union at our place. UPSO is not a recognized union as such at KPFA. It is a union as WPI. And some of our stations do not have UPSOs at all. But the fundamental concern that I have is this. Whenever any organization within Pacifica has inconsistent bylaws that contradict the very fundamental assumptions that are in our bylaws, then we have to deal with them. For example, to become a member of UPSO in New York is a different number than to become an UPSO member in KPFA. I think that all UPSO organizations, whether they're union or whether they're organizations that are created there at any station, they should have consistent requirement for becoming eligible to be able to vote in Pacific elections. Otherwise, we set up a standard that's non-uniform from station to station. And that creates a problem because unless the station management at any given station determines whether a person was eligible rightfully or wrongfully, or whether they are, how would they determine if a election supervisor asks, where is the list of qualified voters of UPSO? And how would that be determined? Who will give that list, and who would verify that that is correct if it's not the station management? So what I would do, I would try to make an amendment to Bob's motion that Bob's motion to stay intact just like it is, but with the proviso that the KPFA unpaid staff organization's membership rules be brought into equivalence with the unpaid staff membership rules in place at other Pacifica stations. That to qualify as members, unpaid staff must work the equivalent of 30 hours in a period of 3 months, which work has been performed under the supervision of station management. I think if we do not do that, our fundamental problems at each station are going to continue, and it will demoralize, and it will hinder any progress at our station. So that's what I would like to see. And I am all for unpaid staff organization, but I think there should be consistent rules that are applied support eligibility. And therefore, I would try to amend Bob's motion with this, add this on to it.